wish for it or you can work for it.
You gotta work for greatness.
If you ain't working, you should be working.
Come on, let's work.
These are the confessions of a workaholic. Workaholic.
Welcome to Confessions of a Workaholic, where we share the success secrets of fearless female entrepreneurs who are obsessed with success. This is your girl, Corey Yale, and I am so excited about today's episode because it is Black Business Month. No, we're not just celebrating Black history here on Confessions, and so today is a super special way to kick off the celebration. This episode is brought to you by The Inner Circle, a personal and professional mentoring program for goal-getting women. For more information on how The Inner Circle can support you in your success, visit majorkeymentoring.com. So like I said, instead of celebrating Black History Month, I decided to dedicate the month of February to our future. And I believe the future is in the hands of Black business owners and Black leaders. So there was no better way to start the celebration than with this hardworking woman that I am introducing you all to today. We are kicking off the Black Business Month celebration with a woman who is literally dedicating her life's work to Black entrepreneurs. Dr. Lakeisha Howman, affectionately known as Dr. Key, is an educator and dynamic leader in her community. She's the mastermind behind the amazing Village Market ATL, whose mission is to support the sustainability of socially conscious, community-minded entrepreneurs and startups. Dr. Key, are you ready to confess?
I am ready to confess, Coria.
So I always like to start by asking what your professional background is, because I find it so interesting how our passions sometimes lead us away from our profession. So what did you start your career doing?
I started my career as a high school English teacher. So I taught 11th and 12th grade English for 5 years in the Mississippi Delta. And then I moved to the great city of Atlanta.
So you, like me, a fellow educator, how did that classroom experience, like that in the trenches kind of training, prepare you for the work that you're doing now? Because even though you're not in the classroom, you're definitely still educating.
Oh, yes, most definitely. I tell everyone, I always say that it's a tie between my undergraduate experience at Tougaloo College and then my first 5 years of being a teacher, that are probably the most amazing years of my life. The work that I've been doing with the Village Market is very consistent with what I did as a teacher. I've always wanted to be a teacher. I will be a lifelong educator. And so for the Village Market, primarily throughout master classes, I created that because I miss teaching so much. I miss having students almost, and that level of engagement of being able to charge our brains to elevate and to think further. So that's what I did. I did with the Village Market. I always believe that what you love, just continue to enhance it and create that ultimate thing that you want.
So you mentioned the master classes, and when I first met you, I was actually on a panel that you hosted. I don't even know what year that was. It was a couple of years ago, but your business has grown so much since I met you back then. And sometimes it takes years before we get that aha moment that really changes the trajectory of our career. So how did it feel to have yours, and how far into your journey were you when you actually created the Village Market and took it a step further from the master classes?
You know, when you and I met, Coriel, I think that was master class number 5. And I think the class that you were such a dynamic panelist for, I announced that class. I have this thing that I'm working on. I'm going to drop it in a couple months. The master classes started in 2016. The Village Market started in 2016, to put it into context. I would say that it took 3 to 4 months to get the Village Market going, in conjunction, allowing those master classes to springboard and catapult what has now manifested into the Village Market. But the Village Market is only a year and a half old. April will be 2 years for us.
That is amazing that you've had this level of success in such, and it probably to you doesn't seem like such a short amount of time, but in the grand scheme of things, it's not that long of a time that it took you to create this this beautiful, beautiful experience that is the Village Market. But what do you say to the entrepreneur who's like, man, 2 years, I've been doing this thing for 2 years and nobody supported me. I'm running into brick walls. What do you say to the business owner who is just getting a slow start?
I'm a firm believer that consistency is everything that we need. And if you're every single day that you're being consistent in creating excellence, that thing is going to manifest itself. So you can't tire, though I know it's hard. Even for the Village Market, we've had so much success. It doesn't mean that with success, it doesn't come very, success isn't stressful, because it is. But for those startups who, like you said, have been slow to have engagement, slow to really get their business to where they want to be, you have to be really mindful of why you created your business. And also any other process that we've had. When we started undergrad, literally we had to go freshman year to get to the senior year. It just takes time to graduate into different spaces. Though we've been able to have success almost 2 years with the Village Market, there are so many other things, especially being an educator. It took years for me to fine tune my craft to even be able to organize. So if we scale back of how the Village Market is operated, you have to be extremely organizationally savvy, type A to the max. And you have to have a relatability to people. All of these teachings I learned by being an educator. So it looks fast for the Village Market, but my time being a student to even get here was years. So I just tell people to stay consistent, but stay consistent in creating excellence.
I love that. And that's the thing that I really want to be able to share here on the podcast. That's the mission behind this podcast, is sharing the real, true journey. Not just what you see on social media, not just what you think, oh, she did it in 2 years, but you don't know the years, like she said, that she put in just being a student and watching and researching and collecting notes and, you know, all of the studying that it takes that you don't necessarily see, but that still comes with success. And the other thing that you said that I absolutely love is that, you know, success still comes with stress. I think that we are watching, you know, our timeline and we're seeing people making these boss moves and we think, oh, they made it. And yes, they may have, you know, achieved that goal or they may be successful in that thing, but that doesn't mean that it's easy. That doesn't mean that they still aren't faced with fears. That doesn't mean that they still aren't failing, you know, and, you know, we have to fail forward. We're constantly failing. And it doesn't mean that once you know the answer to this, you just know the answer to everything. So there is no end all be all. I think success is definitely a journey. It's a continuous thing. It's a daily, daily thing. So I love that quote, success still comes with stress.
Oh, it does. It does. It does. And I think when we see people, like you said, making those boss moves, no, there is such a sacrifice to even make a boss move. And it was so many humbling moments in your life to even be considered a boss. I know for me, I occupy the space of just being extremely transparent with what it means to make sacrifices for that thing that you want. And also being so honest with yourself to know all the things that you do not possess so you can seek the village that you need to get there. So I think it's a duality of knowing your strengths, but also knowing your weaknesses, and to know that on that timeline, that is a perception. Off the timeline is where the work and the trenches, all, as people say, blood, sweat, and tears. You know this, you're also a business owner. It is extremely hard to manifest what people see and applaud and like on a timeline. I stay off a lot, Toria, to be honest with you. I'm not a social media person, but I know the importance of social media, but I'm an in-person kind of individual. And those are the things that motivate me, person-to-person relationships.
And that bleeds through your brand. You know, that is, and if you attend the Village Market, which hopefully you will have the opportunity to do, Dr. Key will be right there in your face, shaking your hand, giving you a hug, thanking you for coming and just being in it. She's not going to be in the office making sure everything is running, which I'm sure she is making sure everything is running while she is running, but she is right there with the people. And so you obviously interact with a lot of Black business owners. What are some things that we can do better to serve one another? Because people always have so much to say about Black businesses, but they don't typically have much to offer. So, you know, in terms of advice or solutions or, you know, help with how we can get better. So what advice can you give? What are some of the things that you're seeing that we can kind of do better as Black business owners?
We'll start with Black business owners, and then we can start with just our, and then we can go to just community. But for Black business owners, I think we have to be extremely transparent and to make sure that that thing that we're creating, our business, that we're creating something that can be sustainable and can sustain the health and the magic of our community. There are so many products out there now. But I think at this point, we've all been given a charge to be somewhat social entrepreneurs, still make your money. But there is a charge on where we are in this place and time that the things that we create have to be impactful for the longevity and the sustainability of our businesses. But small things, Coriel, small and consistent things with being very mindful of having a team of advisors who have done the things that you want to do, and also trustworthy people that believe in your vision and knowing the difference. It's a difference between having people who are fans of your work, fans tell you everything is great, but having folks who are very critical, who also admire you because they need to motivate you, and even while they're critiquing you, those people have to sit at the table so you can have honest conversations of where you are and the equity of your business at this point in time. And I think just for Black business owners is to remember, not that we don't, it's not necessarily that we come in deficits. I try not to even think that way. But I think we have to remember what the game and the board that we're on that we don't own. We don't own this game. We're a part of we're a participant on this board. And we have to remember that so many things that we can't control within our business. And I think when we relinquish those things that we cannot control, we will focus more on making sure our brand echo those things that we needed to echo. So when you think of capital would come, but make sure first that your brand is echoing things and that your brand is in a place that when you receive capital, that you can actually do something with the money when you get it. When you receive this following and you receive this mailing list, that you're ready to have a mailing list of this massive size and know how to engage that, and that equates into sales. So I think we see long-term gain, we see timeline success, and we want those things so badly. We have to stay in the blueprint phase and do due diligence there so we can make sure when we create that thing that it can actually be sustainable. And, you know, to our community of just being a village of Black people who support Black people, I think we have to be extremely graceful with Black-owned businesses and be mindful of the odds in which we're faced. So when we say that you go to Walmart and the aisles always are stacked with all the merchandise that you need and the products that you need, but if you go to the Black-owned shop, that this product takes 2 or 3 weeks to come in, but we also know why. And what have we done to support that business? Have we given an honest critique of this is what my experience was, or did we just get on social media and rant about how horrible the service was? So I think it's such a responsibility to be a Black-owned business and also a patronizer of Black-owned businesses. We can't be trendy and support. So if you're supporting the village should be supported outside of the village market. The village market is one event that houses and showcases 70 to 80 entrepreneurs at a time. You should support these people when there's no village market. Because Coriel, the goal, and I tell everybody this, my vision is one day we don't need a village, we don't need a village market. That we know exactly who is in our community, that we go without any hesitation to support Black people without pause or without feeling like we have to take a selfie and hashtag that we supported a Black-owned business today.
So many major keys. I mean, you made so many points, one of which that I think is so important of having a community, having those accountability partners, having those people in your life who you know are not hating on you, but who can tell you you can do this better. This is what I love. This is what you can build on. This is what people from the outside looking in will see. You have to have those people in your life, your dream team, your starting five. We talked about on a past episode of Confessions, those people in your life who can meet you where you are and help you to get to where you're trying to go. And then the other thing that I think is so important that you mentioned is the responsibility of the village, of the community to support Black businesses, not just talk about, you know, what they're doing wrong, not just talk about, you know, how they can improve, but help them out. You know, if you see something that can be done a little bit better, if you see somebody doing something better, let them know, you know, send them a DM, send them an email, let them know how you already support their brand, but how you notice they can do better in this way. We have to learn to have more of a community aspect within Black businesses, and definitely taking the responsibility of understanding how small businesses work. It's not just Black businesses, it's small businesses. We cannot do business like Walmart. Right? You cannot order something off of my website and think it's going to get there to you tomorrow. Sometimes it does, but sometimes that's not possible. Now, if you happen to live in ATL and I happen to ship your order out today, then girl, I you know, you're winning. But if you live in California and you order at 11 a.m. today, don't expect to have your order at 11 a.m. tomorrow. Okay, it's just not happening. So you have to understand how small businesses work, and you have to definitely understand that we are growing, we are learning, we are evolving, but it does take a village, it does take a community effort. And you do more for Black businesses than just showcase them at this at the one-day event. I know that you are still doing classes, you still are curating other experiences. So what are some of the other things that you are offering to assist Black businesses?
Yes, I tell people, so the Village Market is like the party for me. That's when I get to engage and just get to have fun, Corey. Now, before the Village Market, it was a whole bunch of work, so it's really stressful, but the events that I curate outside, that's more of educational, that is what I love. My heart and soul is in teaching and imparting knowledge and getting people together, master teachers together to share the things that they know. So those master classes are so dear to me. We'll be releasing our jam sessions, which are not panel-based, but a jam session is almost a kickback with a master teacher who's going to talk the way you and I are talking about the ups and downs and ins and outs, the people that we know, the things that we've learned, and share that with a group of entrepreneurs. And we're always providing a space for women entrepreneurs too. I have this program called The Talent to 10, and I get 10 dynamic women together. We work together for 90 days to push our business to the next level. And I love that. I've been able to create, no pun intended, but such an amazing village. And that's what I want. Every curation I do intentionally. I think, what is this going to do? What is this going to do for Black businesses? What is this going to do for children who parents are Black business owners? What is this going to do for future kidpreneurs? Because I work with kidpreneurs too. And more so the sustainability of our community and the things that we're teaching, how is it enhancing the quality of our life? So I deal with a lot of holistic teachings and things such as that. We're working on a big clinic for March that's going to be super dope. It's called Her Village. So it's going to be a one-day conference for women entrepreneurs coming together to share and to look like what does it mean to be inside of her village, and what does her village need to sustain? So I can't wait for that.
I can't wait for my invitation for that. Let me just put that out there, because I definitely need to be involved. Now let's talk about the Village Market though, because it's not just a pop-up shop experience. Yes, there are amazing, dope vendors, but what are the other different elements of the day?
Oh man, so the Village Market is an experience, and that's what I work towards, that experience of excellence. So of course we would see so many amazing entrepreneurs within many mediums. But you'll get live entertainment. You'll get empowerment classes. For Black Friday, we finally launched our Village Clinic. We had over 20 doctors in one space giving health screenings and mental health screenings. I was so, so proud of that. So that's what the Village Market has in one place. So yes, you can buy, but you can also sit back and you can listen to a local artist. Also, you know, share their gifts and their talents. And for kids, there's a whole station for them. That's more so STEAM-based. I won't ever stop being an educator. And I have to brag on that, that our food is all plant-based. And I'm from Mississippi, so when I say our food is plant-based, I say that with the understanding that I'm a true Mississippian, so I have eaten it all. And I know that there are so many opportunities in Atlanta to go and engage in and share and partake in so many different cuisines. So what I wanted, when I knew that Black people were going to come together for the Village Market. So a part of that experience was giving and offering a palate experience too. So I'm always so, so happy when people try plant-based foods for the first time and like it, and fresh juices for the first time and like it, even if that fresh juice is mixed, you know, in a mixed drink. Because we can still have, you know, experiences that we love with the people that we love, and it can be fun and enjoyable and not stigmatizing.
Absolutely. And that was actually my next question, because aside from you being just an advocate for Black businesses, you are also all about plant-based living. And I had some of the most amazing food at the last market. I can't wait to get my hands on some more at the next one. But why is it so important for us to start paying better attention to what we are putting in and on our bodies? And why was it important for you to include that aspect in the Village Market?
When I think of excellence, I think excellence is all consuming, and everything that we touch, every person that we engage with. So when we think of Black Girl Magic and Black Boy Joy and all those hashtags and making boss moves and making six figures and things like that, what's the point of doing these things if we are dying and we are sick and we are, and our bodies can't even, our bodies are not in good health, so you can't enjoy it. So I try to create an experience and an understanding that we can have it all, and it doesn't have to hurt to get these things. So which means you can make boss moves in your business, you can have a six-figure company, and you can also have six-figure health. And we should want both. We should want to be able to, when we're out on vacation or when we're in the lab working, that what's keeping us up is not Red Bulls and things that we have to force into our system. But no, you can have plants that keep you awake the same amount, the same way. And the long-term game is not diabetes and things like that. So we have to think about the quality of our health and all the ways that we have been miseducated as a people. We think things run in our blood, and it doesn't. What runs in our blood is excellence. And that's the thing that we should always strive to feed and to nurture. But all these other things, health discrepancies, that's not within us. Those are things that we feed within us, but that's not who we are. And that's not a part of our DNA.
So, so true. The miseducation, like, it's so, we think that it's just important to learn new things, but we have to peel back the layers, like, of all the wrong teachings that we've literally, all of the lies that we've been led to believe, you know, that we just don't even know until we realize we don't know it. And so as an educator, why do you think it's so important that we understand our roots and that we study our history in order to continue to create our future?
Because we come from excellence. When I think about the blueprint and when it was time for me to create my business plan for the Village Market, I didn't look at businesses now, Coriel. I went all the way back to the continent of Africa, and I thought about what made businesses, and you know, before the name businesses, what made the village thrive? And what made the village thrive was everybody who had that thing that made them excellent. They brought that thing to the village, and it turned into this big celebration. So you don't know that unless you know how to look back and to examine and to be honest to know that there's truly nothing new within this sun that we see, that we're always just a continuation, a cycle of things that have already been there. And we put our own, I guess, brand on it. But you don't know who you are unless you see all the people, the millions of people that we've been. That's the reason why there's a Coryell. There's a reason why there's a Dr. Key, because of all the people, not just the sacrifices that they made, but all the excellence and being attentive of excellence and creation. So we have to know who we are, and we have to celebrate who we are, and we have to remember not to celebrate in an oppressive state, that we are much more than slaves. We're greater than the civil rights movement. And so, and our history did not start there. And our excellence didn't start five years ago. We were excellent before hashtags. And we have to remember, that's the point of looking back. And that's the point of, I think, when we think about Black History Month, and I love the angle of how you're looking at Black future. That's what it's about to me. It's being able to see where we are, look where we've been, and have a very acute vision of where we're going. That's the importance.
So Dr. Key, I have to say, there were so many things that I thought that I knew that I just did not know. And for me, Hidden Colors was a life changer. It really made me look at myself and my sisters and my brothers just differently. Do you have any books or any documentary, I don't know why I wanted to say documentation, any documentary recommendations for my listeners who want to learn more about their history?
Hidden Colors is it, Coryell. I think the reason why I'm a fan of Hidden Colors is because I love when education is put plainly. So it doesn't matter if you're sitting with your grandma or your niece or your homegirl. Everybody gets it. And then there's a conversation that can be had at the end of it. So I have to say Hidden Colors as far as, I guess, documentary type style. And for books, there are so many people I like. You know, Russell Simmons, people are questioning him right now. But if you have any thought about plant-based foods, Happy Vegan is such an easy read. And it's a non-judgmental read. So I really like that. That's all I can think of at this moment.
That's a good start, though. You know, there are four editions of Hidden Colors. You know, so they got their work to do throughout February. That is my challenge for you. All of my listeners, get online, download Hidden Colors. I think it's hiddencolorsmovie.com, but you can Google Hidden Colors Movie. You can find all four versions. They cover four different things. You need to see all of them. I promise you, your life will not be the same. It can't be. It cannot be the same
after you learn. Watching What the Help. When Hidden Colors does the same thing that What the Help did, and especially for young kids, when you know who you are, it does something to you. It changes everything that you are. And Korea, I used to be that Black girl that was All Lives Matter. And All Lives Matter is still so important to me. And it took a young man, Trayvon, being killed and to see the failure of the judicial system that altered everything in my state of being and who I wanted to be and the type of legacy I wanted to leave. He did that for me. And so I keep an image of him in my office because he was that person for me. And things like Hidden Colors, imagine if a young Trayvon and all the young Trayvons can see themselves through that lens.
And know who they are and know what they are worth. It's so, and that's why it's important for us women. I do have some male listeners, but the majority of my audience is women. And I think it's so important for us to start taking ourselves more seriously. So important for us to start learning who we are. So important for us to start investing in ourselves and becoming the women that God created us to be, because these kids are depending on us, right? And our kids are never going to know their history. They're never going to know that they are kings and queens, and their legacy is so, so rich if we don't know that. Right? As the woman, as the mother, we have to know those things so that we can share it with our children. And so one thing that I also like to talk about here on the podcast is just the power of your people. And as we are growing professionally and even in our personal lives, your network, your community is so valuable. And the woke community, as you know, as they call it, is pretty tight, especially here in Atlanta, right? Everybody knows everybody. How important have relationships been? How important has your moral character and you just being a woman of your word and doing what you say you're going to do? How valuable has that been to your career?
It's honestly why I'm able to be on a podcast with you today. I think this is the manifestation of the type of village and who I am as a person. It's the law of attraction. So good is going to attract good. And people who are pushing and pushing and waking up every day to grind, you're going to attract folks like that. And for me, relationships are everything. Relationships define our ability to be patient, our ability to be humble, and steadfast and consistent. And relationships really make us question, do we know how to love and how to love each other romantically and independent of romance, if we know how to do those things. And I think primarily for Black women, it is so important for us to know that we don't have to compete with each other. That I can see you winning, Coryell, and I can be happy for you. And I can say, man, Coryell's getting it. I got to get it too. But that's not me wanting to subtract anything from you. And I think that's the message that we have to remember to echo, that relationships is not about being competitive or divisive. They should all be nurturing and motivational. And to have that sister tribe, to have that network that you want, you first have to be those things. I see people all the time saying that they want this, they want this, they want this, and they want a sister tribe that they can trust. But first, you have to be a trusted person. If you want people to not stab you in the back, then you have to make sure in secrecy, when that person is no longer sitting at the table with you, that you're not stabbing them in the back. And that when you can recommend somebody for an opportunity, that you don't say, man, I can't recommend her, because then you're thinking about something that's not going to be recommended to you. But the law of attraction works. Then when you recommend people who you know are good in a space, when it's your time comes, the universe is going to respond to that without thought. And you will see things come to you and you will say, well, how did I get this? You got this because you gave that. And that's what my life has been. I don't question any good that comes to me, Coryell. I have come to expect it at this point, because I wake up and that's the standard. That's the standard I give myself. And that's my word. That's who I am. That's who my mother forced me to be. And times that I failed, I apologize quickly. I find so much strength in vulnerability. I find so much strength in telling people that I'm proud of them, that I admire you, that what you're doing is amazing. And I look at my own self in the mirror and I see that within myself. It's that piece of being and operating in grace and vulnerability, and to know that we don't lose anything by celebrating each other.
Dr. Key, I have truly enjoyed this conversation. I know that my ladies have picked up so many gems. I want everybody within the sound of my voice to make every effort to support the Village Market ATL. The next shopping experience is February 24th, 2018. If you are listening after this date, then go to the website. Dr. Key's going to tell you that website in just a minute so that you can support the next one. But I will be at this upcoming Village Market and hopefully all of the rest of them, because it's such an amazing experience. So Dr. Key, please let them know how they can connect with you online. I know you don't do a whole lot on social media, but the Village Market is definitely on social media. So let them know all of that information.
Yes, make sure you guys follow us, The Village Market ATL. We don't do a lot of love on Facebook, but go ahead and like us on there too. Our website is www.thevillagemarketatl.com. You can get to see what the Village Market looks like, and also you can purchase your tickets. Again, as Coryell said, February 24th, 5 to 10 o'clock p.m. at Mason's Art Gallery. It's the epitome of excellence, and it's going to be an experience.
This has been another game-changing episode of Confessions of a Workaholic, meant to empower and encourage you to get that ass to work. You already have everything you need to get everything you want if you are willing to do what it takes. Thank you so much for tuning in. Dr. Key, I love you.
Love you too, Coryell.